listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 10, Episode 3, coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you once again. We're brought to you by our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet segment, which will be later on in the show, is kindly sponsored by Bar One Betting. More on that a little bit later on. But unfortunately, just the two Premier Division games, Gary. I think Bar One should start doing a book maybe on how many games will actually go ahead at the weekends. This has been a very stop-start to the season, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think record rain levels. And actually, it's good that you brought that up, like people shiting on about pitches and this and that and the other. Like, this is record-breaking weather that we had. I think Dublin Airport Twitter had a thing up there that we received more rain in one day last Thursday, I think, than we had in the entirety of February last year. So, like, it's still grass at the end of the day. It's not about pitches. You know what I mean? It's just a state of, you know, it's a physics, you know, it's a fact.
It's interesting you should say that, actually, because I've seen a lot of people highlighting the fact, you know, that the league did start a week earlier, and in hindsight that was a bad decision, but it wouldn't have made a difference if had it started as it was meant to start, like this weekend gone by, Valentine's weekend, there was still games off.
Yeah,
so it's just
unfortunate. It's just a kick in the bollocks. Like, you know, we're all living it. Like, it's not as if, like, oh my God, I can't believe this game is called off. Like, we're all looking outside and freezing cold and getting pissed on the last 6 weeks. Like, so.
Great advert for the Astro turf pitch, men.
No, it is not. There is no advert good enough for that. So they can go back in their box.
Well, we'll get to see another new Astro unveiled this week, of course, Oriel Stage, and it's first game of the season, the Loud Derby. That should be tasty. So,
anything else been unveiled in Oriel Park? Nothing.
Just the handrail.
Just a handrail on trial.
On trial, not a Swedish centre forward or anything. Just a handrail.
Just a handrail.
To be fair, I think I haven't been up to Oriel now, but I obviously know Kira, who gives us our lovely voice over at the start and the end of the pod. Our family have been up and down to Oriel a good bit over the last few weeks with plenty of other supporters, and they've been doing a bit of painting there and a bit of cleaning. So it'll be my first time seeing it now on Friday, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they've done.
Yeah, look, will you do us a favour and make sure you put up 6 or 7 photos of this handrail up on our socials, please, when I get a good look at this high-tech solution they've installed in Oriel Park.
What was I going to say? I was going to say, it's just me and you this week, so that's where most people are probably tuning out, so I hope you enjoyed that 3 or 4 minutes. with those games, so many games postponed at the weekend, with the fact that a lot of clubs are having media days this week with the two Drogheda club or two and Louth clubs both have media days Tuesday and Thursday because they're on the telly. Just doesn't suit my schedule, and a few other things just didn't go my way this week, so unfortunately no guests, so I apologise for that. But our first two guests of the season, I think we're very good, so we'll have plenty more of that throughout the podcast season. Alan Cawley week one, and Jack Brady last week, who as I suspected he would, had an absolute cracker against Cork City in the end. Unlucky to come out on the wrong side of things there, but we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about the two Premier Division games that did survive, Gary. I suppose there's only one place to start, is that Colin Whelan hat-trick. Absolutely great to see. Maybe not so much from a Sligo perspective, but great to see Colin Whelan banging in the goals.
Yeah, look, he's, you know, a player I was such a big fan of that was singing the praises of along with Liam Kerrigan when they play together in that great season for UCD.
We might get him home yet too, will we?
Unfortunately so. Well, delighted for us. But yeah, too, and even he
made a move recently, didn't he? He's playing, is it Serie C or?
Is it Serie C? I think he's still in Italy at some point.
Obviously, but like,
I probably, you know, looking back on it, Como wasn't a great move because of the makeup of the club. Like, you know, there was a heap of money flying in, big name people involved. So it probably just wasn't the right place to go. But anyway, look, that's spilt milk under the bridge. But look, Colin Whelan, we know of his capabilities. Having watched him down through the years, he's just been really unfortunate with injuries. With Derry taking a chance on him a couple of years ago, and it just never really, went right. Great to see him getting a hat trick. I think he's a hat trick of hat trick for Bowes, I think, in his time. Hopefully, this sets up a strong season for him, that he can actually put a bit of, fitness together and keep on the pitch. He did very well to get a hat trick in this game, but he was ably helped by Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, very worrying result for them after such a resolute performance away to Derry. This is their first home game. I know I watched John Russell's interview and he was very downbeat, as you'd expect. We'll never read too much into, two games, but suppose we did say on our first pod of the season, we felt the squad was a good bit weaker than it was probably at the end of last year. I know the likes of Shane Blaney hasn't really fully got going. He came on as a sub. But I've pointed out that the forward area, I'd be worried about Cian Kavanagh. He came off the bench. Traore started. I don't think he had a great first home debut.
And just a question, just as you mentioned that particular department, a bag of money was received. Well, a relative bag of money was received for Owen Elding. And not has anybody been brought in since that influx of money?
I suppose, is the window still open?
I think so, yeah.
It happened so close to the season getting. I know I spoke to John Russell recently for the members club about this, and he did say that, obviously expected to lose Owen at some stage. It was just the timing of it was the real kick in the teeth, because he thought he might be able to hang on till the summer. He had him in pre-season and playing in friendly matches and the like, and then he gets sold the week leading into their first game. So I suppose the timing wasn't overly helpful, but this is a bad start for Sligo.
Yeah, and unfortunately I don't see much relief coming into it, and as I mentioned before, is this going to be the season that it all just can't be rectified mid-season? A bad night at the office here for Sligo, there's no question about it. Great night for Bowes, and I think I did tip them to be a lot better this season. I don't think we can read a bag into this particular game, given how poor Sligo were. But I think it might be an omen for the rest of the season for Bowes.
Yeah, looking at their 11, it's as strong as anything that's in the league. If you have a fit Colly Whelan and a fit Douglas James Taylor, that was the front two. I mean, that's some partnership. Dale Rooney, Power came in. He got very good reviews the other night. I said when he signed, I thought that was a great sign. And Devoy, Flores, Tierney, Mullen, Todd Hickey. It's a lot more solid looking at the back than it was maybe a couple of seasons ago. Just probably they don't have the squad depth, obviously, of a Rovers or a Derry. But I mean, the 11 that they can pick, like the likes of McManus there, who was brilliant at Sligo on loan last season. He didn't get on. Connor Parsons didn't get on. Moran is a player I like. He came off the bench. The young lad Martin that they signed came off the bench.
Adam McDonald didn't start.
Cian Byrne, who we're big fans of, he came off the bench as well. So like they have a decent squad. It's probably not just as strong as those other teams I mentioned, but there's no reason they shouldn't be in the mix for a European place.
Yeah, I think so. I think probably that'd be their only downfall, is just like staying the distance. But they've made a good fist of it to start with.
Yeah. They have Europe coming up as well, so in the summer, so the squad will be stretched, I suppose. So that will be a slight concern. Derry City 2, Dundalk 2. Very disappointing result for Derry. Just first of all, to get your view on the penalty at the end. Kieran Kilduff not happy post match, but I'd imagine if he's looked back at it, he's probably changed his view. I think it's a stonewall penalty.
Yeah, I think it's just the manner of it, I suppose, is probably...
The obviousness of it. I mean, he has a pull of the jersey. He holds on to the jersey. The referee stood there looking at him. If he just lets go of the jersey at any stage, I don't think it's going to be given. But the fact he keeps holding on to it, even after like that player can't get to the ball, he's still holding the jersey. And it's so profound as well. It's such a stretch on the jersey. Like, it's really far out from the body. It's not one of these little tugs, you know, that the referee can't see. The jersey has been stretched to its limits there. So,
and I suppose,
I think you've given the referee no choice but to give a penalty there.
Yeah, actually, thinking back on it, he actually held him for so long.
Yeah.
Like, probably before the ball was within 15 yards, I'd say, probably, of the striker. So,
I don't know what he's thinking, to be honest.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And especially the celebration when he thinks it's a free out as well. That's very good.
I didn't spot that, actually.
Yeah, no, he has the arm up in the air celebrating and then he turns around and is like, uh-oh.
Just on Kieran Kilduff, he came out after the game. Now, I don't know when he did the interview whether he had seen a replay back or not, but he obviously wasn't happy. Felt it was a soft penalty. If he has seen it back and he's given that reaction, okay, fair enough. I would love to see a manager, and we never see this anymore, hear this anymore. I would love to see the manager come out there and say, my player has done an unbelievably stupid thing here and that's the end of it. But look, perhaps I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps he hasn't seen a replay back and that was his honest opinion at the time. But I'd say if you were to sit down and ask him behind closed doors, what did you think of that really? He'd say, I don't know what he's at.
Yeah, you do see it sometimes. I know I'm referring to the dreaded Premier League, but I think some bollocks got sent off. Oh no, Jake O'Brien got sent off a couple of weeks ago for Everton, and David Moyes was like, "Yeah, sound should have been sent off." So I think this excuse me, this idea that managers haven't seen it back, he's probably seen it back more times than the entire highlights have been viewed. Between the incident and given that interview, iPads, screens, and we may remember on last year's pod when Longford played Derry in Bishopsgate, you know, there were about 25 lads in
Dundalk.
Pricking around with with cameras and bras and GPS, and a lad to put out the cones and a different lad to pick up the cones. There's enough people there, and enough staff. And videos and, you know, iPads and every sort of garb going. He's seen it 10 times. He saw it on the pitch, same way as the ref did and everybody else. And he saw it probably 5 or 6 times or 100 times before the end of the game. Never mind the interview. So I don't buy that. And I never have. I know it's bollocks. it's just, you know, managers need to step up and go, yeah, he at the very worst of going, he gave the referee to make a decision.
Yeah.
And if you hold any lad's shirt for 5 or 6 seconds, sorry.
Yeah.
That it's just plain as day. And like, you know, any manager, including Killer, it'll be like, you're just making a bollocks of yourself, lad, by saying something like that. So don't want to hear it.
To go back to your original point, though, it was a get out of jail card for Derry City. They were very poor on the night.
Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, fair enough. You might say on one hand, you know, a team that promoted, missed their big opening weekend because of bad weather, have to go up to Derry now, a difficult game. Maybe they were, like Dundalk were good enough on the night. But like, would you put it down to maybe a bit of underestimating of Dundalk from a Derry side? Or is that giving too much kindness there?
I don't know. One thing I will say, obviously they were without Brian Maher, and I thought the young lad, Callister, particularly for the second, I thought he probably could have done a little bit better. But look, it's early days. Again, you're not going to read too much into two results. But the one thing I will say about Derry, I don't think there's the scope there for a slow start. I think if Derry are picking up these results in another 3 or 4 games' time, I think the conversations will be a lot more serious on this podcast.
Yeah, probably so. And look, if they're serious on the pod, you know, Dublin media like we are, they'll be very serious up in Derry, in the Derry camp. So I think, like, you know, give it a bit of time. As you said, maybe 5 or 6 games into it, and then get a, you know, do a bit of a review on the situation. I think the addition of McLean will probably give the team some space. Would you say?
One thing, I don't know if we talked about this, like at times during his career, particularly playing for Ireland, he was often criticised for his crossing, but I think from a dead ball, from a set piece, I think we saw the quality there for the goal. Now Dundalk's marking was poor, I know, fairness to Kilduffy did say post-match, you know, to concede from a set piece was very disappointing, but the delivery from McLean into his brother Patrick was absolutely top class. That's something he's going to give them this season as well. I think that's something
we didn't consider. Was poor for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was poor. But no, look, I think you're right. Give it another 3 or 4 games and we'll see how it's going. But certainly hasn't been a rip-roaring start from Derry at all. So that's really it from the Premier Division, unfortunately. Just on Dundalk, Vinnie Leonard completing his transfer to Norwich there in the last couple of days. Different reports out there about the transfer fee, but I think Dundalk have done all right out of it. He's going to be staying with them until at least the summer, and then he'll head over to Norwich, where we hope he does well. But that's a couple of players now in the last probably 6 months or so that they've managed to sell to the UK. Obviously, Sean Keogh went to Brighton as well, so starting to see some fruits of the academy coming through there at Dundalk, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a great positive, a great boost, and shows to players what can happen and what you can do if you know, like, let's say you mentioned Kyo as well, like, he was in the first division.
Well, he had played Premier games the season they went down, but yeah.
Oh, no, I know that, yeah. But, like, he was still in the team that got relegated. So, like,
yeah, exactly. You know, it goes to show that these clubs aren't like, oh, well, that's, you know, we're going to totally disregard him, like, his performances, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there are plenty of opportunities and solutions that can come out. So look, fair play to Leonard, and it's good for Dundalk to get a few pound into the Irish pocket. You know, maybe they could put up another handrail somewhere.
Another handrail. We'll move down to the first division then, and the game we were at Friday was Bray against Longford. Again, I have to give a shout out to the chipper van in the Carlisle. It's absolutely savage, one of the best in the league, albeit a bit pricey. But on the pitch, Bray probably disappointed that they didn't come away with the 3 points in the end. They missed some absolutely glorious chances in the second half. What did you make of Bray's performance before we get to Longford?
I thought they were poor enough in the first half.
Very fortunate to be ahead of half time.
Yeah, really were. Like, if that was a grass pitch, that situation would have never occurred. But I think probably Longford were a bit sleepy. For that goal.
Yeah, a few people around me said that. They were like, oh, look at the way the ball held up, the Astro. Longford's reaction was very poor.
Yeah, it was. And just not sniffing out that bit of danger there. It kind of reminded, well, it didn't remind me, but I think myself and yourself were down at Jackman Park.
Oh, Jesus, we're going back here.
2012. I think a gang of us were down there. Do you remember
Collie James Header?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as good as that, but like,
oh, no, that was a serious header.
Yeah, but 5 players, Limerick defenders, thought that ball was going out, and Gary Shaw didn't give it up, was able to cross it in for a diving header from about 15 yards out.
Yeah.
For Collie James, like, one of the unbelievable goals. And that's where Limerick were spending every euro in the country. But, like, you know, fair play to O'Neill, he didn't give it up. Worked very hard to make that cross back, and I think it was just the cutback that caught out the town players. That I wasn't that bothered by it, like, you know, shit happens. And particularly, you know, 12 minutes into the season, you do have a few new players in there. Particularly, you know, Longford Town started at the back with Cole and Conor Arity, so like a new pairing and blah blah blah. But I didn't really think that Bray capitalised that much.
No. Didn't look like scoring
in the first half.
Really. No.
Yeah. And it kind of gave Longford that, like, okay, a bit of breathing room maybe to settle into the game. And then they came out in the second half, equalised. And then I was kind of disappointed with how Longford went into their kind of...
Yeah, Longford can never create anything after scoring themselves, yeah.
And that's the killer, because it really was one-way traffic. A number of chances from Bray, as you mentioned,
Would you say that they were chances that Bray created, though, or were they chances that Longford individual mistakes and kind of gave up?
I do agree with you. Like a couple of, we'll say, missed headers, or, you know, try to intercept the ball that fell to someone else and wasn't, you know, booted into the back of the net. Really, like some of the chances that were just blasted wide or blasted over that actually turned out to be the most common feature. Alex O'Brien for Longford did clear one off the line, which was the best chance of the game in the second half after the goal, obviously. So I would be concerned about the back-to-front ability of Bray. They were playing a lot of sideways pass and shite.
Yeah.
And Longford Town, while they were more defensive and didn't create a bag themselves in the second half, they had to work reasonably hard. But Bray weren't doing enough to break them down, I felt. And as you mentioned, a couple of the chances fell to them rather than out of really superb play from Bray. But with that all said, like, they still had a heap of chances that they should have scored. You know, it doesn't matter where the chance comes from. Like, if you're running down on goal, who cares how you got there? They still put them wide or put them over, or, you know. So they will be disappointed they didn't get 3 points, but I wouldn't be too excited about their prospects based on what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We might touch on Longford in a bit more detail later on. The other Midlands club, Athlone, I don't know how long it was since the last won a game, but they got off to a winning start on Friday, and that came off the back, and I touched on this last week, there was some changes in the background at Athlone, and I know a lot of local people were online saying, this is great news, I'll be attending Lizzie Woolen for the first time in many, many years, and they got a great crowd in. I think there was well over 1,000 in there, over 1,200 at Bray as well, on a very wet and cold night, as we all know. So some great crowds around the first division. I think there was only one game that dipped below 1,000, so that was great to see. But particularly from an Athlone perspective, to get a big crowd in and to win, that's absolutely massive for them after the struggles of the last few years.
Yeah, it's well, not even the last, like, the last year was such, like, was so bad.
So bad.
You know, it's hard to pick yourself up from a fan perspective. You know, you're looking into a new season. Like, you do, you know, get to shake off the shite, but unfortunately, it never materialized last year for them at all.
And they fell behind in this one as well. So you were kind of thinking, oh, here we go again, another season of shite ahead. And
yeah,
Brendan Clark has obviously been the big sign, and I was a bit disappointed with him for the goal. I suppose it's just part of, you know, having a new defence in front of you. Maybe that lack of understanding and less experienced defenders in front of him. I think that's not the sort of goal he would have conceded at Galway. Someone would have headed that away, or he would have come out and dealt with it. But there was just that bit of indecision. He stayed on the line. The defender didn't deal with it. And the Harps man pops in and scores. But they come back to win the game. So, again, that'll give them great confidence.
Yeah, like, it'll give them great confidence. I think at that point, it doesn't matter how you win the game. Like, if the team shows up and forfeits the game and you get a W, that's fine, because it was so bad last year. But saying that, and I suppose, you know, the equaliser from Athlone was a header that hit off the post. The keeper kind of flaps at it and it rolls in. And it's the linesman that gives the goal. And then, did you see the winner?
I did. I watched all the goals back.
Can you remember?
Sunday or Monday with a bit of a hangover, and I kind of forget now. Remind me.
Ball comes in low into the box. It goes to nobody, and a Finn Harps player swipes at it as if he's trying to boot the ball out to the moon, and it swipes off his foot into the back of the net. So, like, you know, it's not as if, like, there's been a massive injection of quality and you know, savage play into this. Like, that ball across the box was going to go out for a goal kick, like, only for the Harps man to clear it out when he should have just left it. But yeah, so look, here's what it is. They'll take it any way they can, and a good start for Athlone for the season.
Yeah, I touched on it before when we were doing the predictions last week. You know, I said, whoever loses this game, it's going to hurt. Like, Athlone, first game of the season at home, trying to shake off the smell of last season. A Harps team coming to town that a lot of people expect to struggle. If you lose that one, you're like, oh, is it going to be another season where we can't buy a win? For Finn Harps, they're the statistic now, aren't they? The team that ended the long winless run for Athlone. And you just feel like this could be the start of a long, long year for Finn Harps.
Yeah, it certainly could. Probably be a bit, like, I think we addressed that a couple of times already, that you'd be coming down to a team that haven't won a game and under this manager in months. So would you be a bit confident? I think it just never really materialized, and I'm not sure how they're going to be able to turn it around over the course of the season. I think they'd be definitely towards the bottom of the table come October or November, whenever we pack it up.
Cork City 1, Treaty United 0. They left it very, very late here, Cork City. I did suggest on the pod last week that this wouldn't be a big, massive opening night, that it might be a lot tighter and more difficult than people thought. I'm not sure if I exactly had this in mind, to be honest, but they did get off to a winning start, and that's all that matters. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of this from Cork City this year. Unconvincing wins, but getting the job done with the quality they have.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think there is there'll be an element of that, and I think we kind of highlighted that last week, like with the I would say Maguire up front, where you're playing like shit and you do squeeze out that win based on that quality. I think it was more dumb luck here with the way the goal went in. Treaty did create some chances to hit the post themselves, I think, in the first half. There was one, the Cork centre back, he just, like, ball coming in, you know, no one around him, and he just tries to boot it back up where it came from and totally missed it. But the Cork defence did manage to recover, put a bit of pressure on the Treaty's man, and he couldn't cause too much trouble. We're also talking about, like, we'll say where early doors, there's this rustiness, a bit of fear. No one wants to make a mistake, and then nearly more afraid to make a mistake than do anything good, and then end up making a bigger mistake than they would have made. So there's a lot of stuff like that going on, particularly for a team coming down like Cork, to have so much, like, pressure on them, because the expectation is that they're going to go straight back up and win the division. So that requires a bit of handling as well. But look, as we've said many times, no one's winning or losing the division early on.
UCD 2, Kerry 1. I think we were both a little bit skeptical last week about some of this hype. And this isn't Kerry's fault that there's hype around them. The hype's coming from elsewhere, other areas of the media or whatever. But we weren't that certain that it would materialise straight away. And they were beaten at the ball by the Students.
Yeah, really unfortunate opener for UCD. The famous cross come shot job, it turned into the goal by the UCD defender. He just sticks out a boot, tries to block it, and just does his own keeper, unfortunately. I think, probably like not an unexpected result here, particularly with UCD. And like we talked last year a bit, like it took them so long to get going. But the UCD team often goes in phases, like, you know, a lot of seasons of, you know, it takes them a while to build up a team that's really going to be challenging. And last year was probably a good example of that. And they did lose a couple of players in the off season as well. Obviously, Sean Brennan in the summer last year. But they lost Adam Verdon as well. He's gone on to Wexford.
Yeah.
Ronan Finn as well. You know, there is a bit of a relatively constant building going on here at the minute.
Yeah.
And they're probably not in the right space to challenge. So it's, even comparing to last year, it's a really good start for them, no matter who they're playing. To get one on the board, coming back from 1-0 down as well, is a nice little boost.
And good to see the pitch looked okay.
pitch looked okay.
Yeah.
Were you kind of, just from a Kerry perspective, were you kind of a bit worried about their defending? You know, something that we've been really critical of in the last couple of years. Like, you know, even going back to the very first season, like how many times is Billy Denny going, oh, Jesus, if we didn't do the stupidest thing on the planet, we would have got a point here or might have managed to hold on to a win. I think that was kind of a feature. And again, I am caveating pretty much anything by saying that this is the first goal of the season, but I think it is something that has been going on for so long for Kerry that they just haven't been able to iron out.
That's a fair point. I think just where a lot of my kind of skepticism comes from about all this hype that, oh, geez, they could challenge for the title and they'll definitely be in the playoffs. It's the same as a team that maybe finishes fourth in the league, getting a few players in and you think, oh, they can challenge for the league this season. Although they were 20 points behind whoever last year. It's not that easy to cross these big bridges.
No,
they
were
second bottom last year above the worst team, one of the worst teams ever in the first division, arguably, in Athlone last season.
That's exactly it.
So expect them just to be in the mix for promotion then a season later because they've brought in a few decent players. You're asking a lot.
Yeah, but and it's not only that. Like this idea that you know, you bring in a couple of ringers will improve the squad. But, like, it's not going to be a case of, like, they just slot in magically and start pissing about, you know, pissing it. Like, they might have been
Globetrotters or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not that hard or that easy to gather up here. So, I think the idea that, you know, that they would have just bossed it, it's going to be a project for a number of years. And, like, when did Colin Healy go in there? Summer, was it?
Before the summer, I think.
Was it? Yeah.
I remember maybe April or May or something like that.
Yeah, you were having nightmares about what Colin Healy's team was going to do to Longford Town and it never materialised, although they handed them their last loss of the season on my birthday last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Bastards. Ruined.
Just was sick as a dog. look, it's a gathering up process, like, and who knows, they could have, you know, a real standout season and really push up, but like
sixth would be a standout season.
That's exactly it. Like, it could be, you know, and if after, you know, five or six games, it could be fourth or fifth or something like that. Like what Finn Harps were, if you remember, towards the end of the season, Harps were, you know, pricking about the playoff spots and then finished nowhere. So, you know, it's not. There is an experience element here that needs to be, and look, this is what we do. We're going to be pushing towards the playoffs. Even with Longford Town pushing towards the playoffs, they managed to put a good run together last year. But now Longford Town need to build on that.
And that leaves us then with probably what was the standout result, really, of the opening weekend of the First Division. Cove Ramblers 0, Wexford 3. And your buddy Max Murphy getting a goal on his debut as well from the penalty spot, of course.
Yes, well, fair play to him. He doesn't have a good strike on him. He absolutely, I think, was it a couple of years ago, he scored an absolute belter from distance against Longford Town. Do you remember that? Just would say right. Around the tunnel area in Bishopsgate.
Yeah, you could be right.
Yeah, I was raging. but look, great start for
Wexford.
For Wexford. Kind of a surprising result, to be quite honest. There's this obviously an idea of Cove Ramblers pushing on from next year or at least maintaining what they had. Obviously lost to like a Barry Coffey, however many goals he scored last year, is very hard replaced. So definitely a job on there to replace that, but I don't think anybody was really expecting a 3-0 loss like that.
They could have scored a lot more than three. Now Cove missed a lot of chances. Like,
yeah,
this could have been a 6-3 game
to Cove.
No, to Wexford.
Yeah, but it could have also been a 6-3 game to Cove as well. Like, there was a bit of hesitancy, a bit of pricking, some really nice play in attacking areas, but just not the finishing required. Huge result for Wexford, it has to be said. Definitely the most surprising result in either division, would you say?
Yeah, well, just the manner of it, I suppose. If they'd won 2-1 or 1-0, would we be raising the eyebrows as much? I don't know. But, from chatting,
I think for Wexford to get it all together like that.
Yeah,
you know, I watched
bits and pieces of the game back, and but people that were there and watched it in full, there was big reviews coming back for Jake Doyle, who I've spoken about a lot on the pod. Even though I think he only scored maybe one or two goals for UCD last season, anytime I seen him, I was impressed just because he is such a handful.
Yeah,
big target man.
Yeah,
and maybe just a move to a different team, different style of play. Maybe it might bring something out of him there. A great debut for him. So, we'll watch with interest, certainly, and see whether they can build on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, they did have the bit of messing at the back at the same time, Wexford. There was, as you mentioned, opportunities for Cove to get themselves into the game. And but also, you know, they had their careless bits of shit as well. Like, you know, some poor crossing. Just not getting that final touch or just not connecting right. But look, as you said, sick to the whole saying it, like, it's early stuff. I think if you're...
Yeah, I wouldn't be writing Cove off or anything like that.
Oh, God, no. Like, I think a result of having Airtel picture of courtesy of Fitz was Longford Town 5, Fitz Sporting Fingal 1 in 2008. And I think... Did Sporting Fingal win the division that year? I think they did. Have we got into a cup final in their short existence? So,
there you go.
There is a long season ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Right, that brings us to the BTS Predictions League. And I better actually just let's see how things went last week, Gaz. Again, shout out to our loyal listener, Carol, who is keeping the spreadsheet in order for us. So, obviously, a couple of the games were postponed. Derry Dundalk, how did we get on there? No, we are all wrong there. You got the correct result in the Drogs Waterford game. You didn't get the correct score. Okay. You also got the correct result in the Sligo Bows game. Correct result, Cork Treaty, and correct result, UCD Kerry. So you got four correct results there. So that's 4 points. I got one correct score, which happened to be Bray Longford, and I got Cork Treaty correct result. So I got 4 points as well. And the listeners last week were represented by Carol, and he got two correct results, Sligo Bows and Cork Treaty. So that was 2 points on the board for the listeners. So after all of that, after 2 weeks of the league, I am on 6 points. The listeners are on 5 points, and you're top on 8 points.
Yup, out of it.
Very consistent so far. Four points week one, 4 points week two. Let's see what you can get this week. We're joined this week by a Cove fan. Brian J is his name. We had a great uptake on the old tweet machine there for people looking to get involved with the BTS Predictions League. So keep entering every week and you might be lucky enough to get on the show. But it's Brian J's turn this week. And we'll start with Waterford against Sligo. We'll start with the Premier Division games. We'll go back to the First Division in a while. Waterford Sligo, he's going for a 2-0 win to the Blues.
Yeah, I think so. But being that department, did we talk about Drogheda at Waterford?
No,
I think of it.
Sorry, I forget that game. So three. Yeah. We did it 3 games. Go ahead. Why did I leave that one out?
Well, I miss it as well, but you're the boss here. You're the big swinging dick.
Still early season.
I'm Alex of it.
Still early season.
Jesus. Oh God.
We'll talk about it now.
Yes, as well. Great result for No, you didn't even realize it when you're reading out the results either, you tool.
Two wins from two clean sheets. Farrell and Doyle.
Top of the table.
Yeah. Can't ask much more.
Can't ask much more is right. Yeah, look, fantastic start to the season.
I wouldn't mind, because we actually have some we have some Waterford tweets in the hotline. I wouldn't mind as well. So,
Jesus, lad, help us out here.
Doing our Waterford listeners a favour, maybe, and not mentioning it. But
I think the main concern for me was how quickly this game was out of reach for Waterford. You know, 10 minutes in, 2-0 down, great finish by Farrell to open it up, absolutely just blasted it in. Great to watch.
Yeah.
And controlled finish in the whole lot, 2 minutes into the game. And what if we're like, shite, like this, is this going to be our lot for the season, this type of shit? They didn't manage to clear their lines. They didn't follow the ball. They didn't get lads getting in the way of each other, knocking each other over, bodies everywhere, and nobody doing anything worth a shite. It's kind of a real carry-on from what we saw last season in the defence department. You know, we've 92 minutes into the season and they've already made a bollocks of it. You know, that's just not good enough. And I think a player, you know, for the second goal, Doyle was given so much time in the middle of the box. A player I was critical of last week did really well with the cross, but he wasn't under any pressure. He nearly just passed it across the box. Bit of a challenge in the defence, and Doyle pops it over the keeper. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, what more do you want, like, from a Drogheda point of view, 10 minutes into the game, a team that you might be expected to beat, and you're 2-0 up after 10 minutes. You know, I think it was all over from there, really.
You've really mentioned your concerns defensively there, and I can definitely, I think I said it on...
But, like, looking at the garbage last year,
yeah,
what has he been doing since November?
And I said on the week one pod that I was looking at the players that have come in and I'm expecting them to massively improve things there. I don't think I am. But for me, I watched a good bit of their game against Shells on week one. I know it's Shelburne, but they were the home team. Shelburne dominated a lot of that game. And then this one, they're not creating. Like, I'm looking at the stats here and I don't know how accurate these are, because it's saying that they had 20 shots, but they only had 3 on target. Their XG was 0.79. Like, I've been worried in the first two games watching them that they don't seem to be really creating much. And I know we've had a few tweets about the style of play already, that it's not great to watch. Just be worried with the players they have in the forward areas there. Lonergan, Amund, Carty, they should be creating a few chances. And I'm not really seeing that from Waterford so far. So you're concerned at one and I'm concerned at the other. It doesn't make great listening for Blues fans.
No, it doesn't, and nor should it. Like, you know, you're looking on a scrap of paper, you see these boys, all right, okay, you know, we just have to get in and around that part of the pitch, and if you want to even say fireballs into the box, or, you know, play a few true balls, you know, Amund drops deep, he probably doesn't have the engine anymore, let's say, but Lonergan is a young player, he has the ability, he can finish a ball. I didn't see much evidence of that the rest of the team knew that they had that strike force.
Seeing much cuteness, nice play.
No. Just that was tasty.
Yeah. There
was very little of that going on. Just not at it. And I think, you know, if you have off days or whatever, you know, the striker isn't doing the striking. When you're combining that with absolute shite at the back, you know, that's a real recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it is,
and I am concerned about their capabilities at the back.
With that in mind, is this almost an ideal fixture for Sligo to try and bounce back? Because I remember it was 2 seasons ago, they were bet 7-0 by Drogheda and I was at the game. And the next morning, a statement went up on the Sligo socials and I was thinking, oh, he's gone. And it was an apology, I think, if I remember rightly. And I was thinking, I don't know, will this lad survive this? And to be fair, he turned it around really well and ended last season brilliantly and all the rest. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if they went down there and got something out of the game.
I think the concern for me is the personnel that are going to do that.
I don't, again, we spoke about it a lot on the pod last week about a lot of teams lacking them forward players. Sligo, I mean, Waterford have them by the bag load there and just don't seem to be able to utilise them at the moment. But Sligo, what they would give for an Amund or for Tommy Lonergan, a player like
what
that.
What do you give for half an Amund?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't want to keep harping on, like, yes, you losing Elding is going to be a killer to any team. No dispute there.
Yeah.
But the amount of times he dug them out last year. very, very hard to replace. And, you know, that's why I mentioned the piece at the start about Sligo, where they haven't brought anybody in, considering that they have got a few pound in the arse pocket. Excuse me. So I think...
Because, like, I'm looking at the Sligo bench from the other night, and one player that's catching my eye there is a lad that we know, Priosti, that was at Longford. Yeah. Now, I thought he was a tasty young player at Longford. I was disappointed to see him go. I think he went up north for a little while, if I'm not
wrong. He was on loan up north after he went to Sligo under 20s.
He's been on the bench in the first couple of games and hasn't come on. Now, again, he's a player, a good young player, but to be on a Premier Division bench when, you know, he hasn't played a lot of football really in the last while since he left Longford, it probably does just show the lack of options they have there. Now, maybe they need to chuck him in there and give him a go and see what he's made of. Maybe he could be the next.
But that's
Elding,
what happened with Elding.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be worried. I'd be worried for Sligo. This is already a big game for. I'd suggest it's already a big game for John Daly. Could do with getting the fans on side, getting a good result on the board. What are you going with here?
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Waterford.
I was going to go the same, but they can't defend for love nor money.
Yeah, they can't defend for love nor money, but they're playing the best team on the country for not scoring. Easier to stop a lad. As Michael Owen said, it's easier to break it all down than do something magical. So yeah. There you go.
Yeah, okay. I'll go 1-1.
Who score for Sligo?
Ryan O'Kane.
Okay.
Do I get a bonus point?
Absolutely.
Lovely. Shells against Galway? I can see this has been low scoring too, but you'd have to strongly fancy Shelburne, wouldn't you?
You really would. Hopefully the pitch can cure itself and be available.
These are the sort of games you have to be winning if you want to be champions. I know it's early in the season, but...
Yeah. These are the games. These are the types of stuff that you just have to be, you know...
You need someone to step up and be the difference maker. Maybe Will Jarvis here up and running now after an extra week of training.
Extra week of training.
I really didn't like your idea of a 1-0 there in the Waterford Sligo game, but I think this has 1-0 Shelburne written all over it.
Yeah, so do I. I'd be in that department too. I think, I'm going to go 1-0 to Shells. I just don't see where anything positive is going to come from Galway. So
no, I shared a tweet there on the BTS. I don't know if you saw it about Moses Dyer, his goal record since he's gone over to, was it Cambodia he went to?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, 18 goals in 23 games since he moved.
Wow. Will he go to the World Cup, will he?
Everyone else is going to be there by the looks of it, so.
Yeah, there you go. Well, look, we might see him in a knockout game. It'd be cool.
They didn't qualify, did they?
Have they?
No, they didn't qualify.
I don't know. You know that Oceania, you know.
No, I don't think so.
All right, okay, fair enough. No. I don't know. I've only one thing on the brain, lad.
Brian is going 3-1 to Shells there. Derry against Bowes. This is probably the standout fixture. I know Rovers and Pats is on and the Loud Derby as well, but Derry off to a slower start than many would have expected. Bowes off the back of a tremendous result. I think this is a really interesting game up in the Brandywell.
What do you think yourself?
You actually texted me earlier, didn't you, and said, geez, there's some absolutely cracking games this weekend.
Yeah, there is.
Hopefully they all go ahead. But Derry and Dundalk's games obviously will with the Astros. What do I think myself? It was a very good... I know, arguably, they beat one of the weaker sides in the division, potentially in Sligo, but you'd have to be impressed what they did. It's the one thing I wonder, will Colin Whelan start on a pitch where he did a serious injury before? That's one thing to ponder over here, perhaps.
Do you think were you concerned, we'll say, at the back maybe for Derry after?
There was a lot of talk about the back line, yeah. I think we have a couple of tweets in the hotline as well. I suppose we all expected Slevin to be a great signing, and he probably will be. He's proven to be a solid Premier Division defender, I suppose, in his time at Galway, but The McLean one, I know Roddy obviously highlighted it for obvious reasons, but I did see when I read that Derry had paid a fee to bring him back, I kind of thought to myself, this is an interesting one, because he went to Sligo last season and he'd been out of the league for a while, and I seen him going down to Sligo and I thought, okay, he knows the league, but geez, he's been out of the league for a while and people would have different views on him or whatever. But to see him going to Derry, and I think I said this already, it's a very different job he has there. Like, he went to Sligo, who were trying to stay in the division and probably defending that bit deeper. He's gone to Derry, a team trying to win the league for the first time in nearly 30 years, playing that bit higher, maybe having to play on the ball a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, could they have got someone else in, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's the main problem. It's a completely different type of game you're going to be playing. It's if when you're playing without the ball and you have to just block stuff and get in the way, and maybe you might be, if you're not in the right position, well, there'll be another lad that actually plays midfield. He's actually standing beside you in defence to clear out a ball or something like that. Like, it probably looks a bit better, and I'm not saying it's any easier, but like, well, it is easier than having to play on the front foot from the back. And I think
because Sligo were very much built on the counter-attack at the end of last season. You think of the likes of Hikiki on O'Kane coming in, and they really thrived in that counter-attacking system. Whereas, you know, at Derry, you're not defending as much. It's going to be moments in the game where you need to be strong. Maybe you don't have that many players around you because you've lost the ball and there's a transition or whatever. And I just wonder whether they could have maybe got somebody else in there. I don't want to bring the wrath of the McLeans down on us, but and I know he did score the other night against Dundalk as well. But yeah, well, it'll be one to keep an eye on, I think.
If we want to reference, let's say, what Roddy said, like, you know, that it was a strange move. No?
To pay a fee for him now, I thought was interesting.
Mm. How did that shake up?
I don't know. We'll not rehash the Roddy stuff, but yeah, I think that's something to keep an eye on. It's one area where I would be slightly concerned about the Derry team. What way the Bows approach this game? Again, if they don't start with Whelan, maybe they start a little bit more defensively than they did against Sligo. Give the young lad a game. I don't know.
Obviously, it's a different approach. Different pitches, you said. Like, so, you know, do you have to be a bit more wary of like a Whelan? But also, is he undroppable, you know, for this game? He scored a hat trick last weekend. What more do you want from a lad? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, oh, sorry, lad, we don't like the pitch up here. Now, that's obviously, but that is also still a consideration considering his history. I'm going to go play it safe 1-1.
Yeah, I see our listener Brian has gone the same, and I think I'm going to do the same as well. I think if this was in Daily Mount, I'd definitely be siding with a Bows win.
But you remember last year, the Derry had some great results down in Daily Mount.
Mm.
I think they had a good 3-2 maybe or something like that. But anyway, yeah.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah.
That brings us to Rovers Pats.
I'd say Rovers are like rabid wild animals right now. You know, they've been chomping at the bit. They've been held back, ready.
In some ways, would this little extra break maybe do them a favour? Because they had such a long season last year.
Yeah, in a way, but like, you know, the difficult... No, I don't think so. I think like they've been given a bit of a, you know, breather, no doubt about it, but you know, they would have been finely tuned, ready to go a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's not as if like, all right, I can go back on the beer.
Yeah.
Get a few super bucks into me now. And you know, I don't think that was ever the case. So I think,
yeah, there's only so much training you can do before it gets a bit tiresome.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it's just a matter of getting it down, getting the rubber on the road. I believe that this is going to be a bad night at the office for Pats. I don't see anything in them at all. I know they haven't played since what last Sunday week.
Does this have the potential to be like the Daily or the Aviva game? Is this going to be two teams kind of feeling each other out?
No, not at all. I think Rovers are going to be dying for this. Like, let's say some of the players haven't slept in 3 days. They're that excited for it. I'm going to say 2-0 to Rovers, Mulroney to score.
Oh, that'd hurt.
Hurt
that
who?
Would hurt the Pats fans.
It wouldn't hurt a bag of them, but they were delighted to see him go.
Brian's going the same as well. He's going 2-0 Rovers. I'd just be worried about the lack of a game for them. But the fact that Pats game was off last weekend, that, you know, if they're not going up against a team that's got 2 weeks under their belt, and Rovers did have a President's Cup game, so fitness level wise probably shouldn't be too much difference between the two teams.
Yeah, but fitness is one thing, but everything else is the other thing. So no concern here.
I remember in the early days of Kenny at Pats, they went up to Tala and had a great result. Things have gone a bit sideways.
Were you always crying to me? Oh, Kenny, you always starts the league slowly.
Possibly.
That sounds
You
know.
I'm sure Rovers do too. So I think, yeah, no, I'm going to go with a draw. I'm going to go with 0-0.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be as exciting as people think, maybe. Could be wrong. Could be 3-3 or 5-4.
Oh, no, I don't think it'll be exciting. I just think Rovers will win 2-0.
Okay. Dundalk draw it. This should be fiery anyway, no matter what happened, whatever else about it. This should be lively.
And this is in Oriel Park.
Yeah.
Right. This is probably the real first go of this new pitch.
New pitch, new lights, new handrail, new everything.
Right. Well, look, as a part-time Dundalk man, what are you looking to hear?
I would have fought in the drugs camp too.
I know,
big fan of the lads there. I think a draw. I don't see draw at coming away empty-handed here.
Yeah, at the worst of going, I believe. What was the result in that Malone Cup?
It was a draw after 90 and Dundalk won on penalties.
All right, okay. 0-0 after 90, was it?
1-1, I think. Danny Mullen scored for Dundalk. Can't remember who scored for Drogheda, but spoke to a few people that were watching it now and they weren't that impressed with Drogheda. That could have just been their Dundalk persuasion coming through, but...
also, Drogheda have won two games from two and are top of the table.
And
so
set pieces have been very important for Drogheda so far. Dundalk were poor defending set pieces in Derry, so I could see the Drogs getting an avenue into the game that way. Yeah. I think Drogheda will definitely get something here. We'll be doing our charity bet a little bit later on, but if I was having a bet on this, it'd be Drogheda to get something out of the game. So I'm going to go 1-1 here.
I'm going to go 1-0 to Drogheda.
Okay, Brian going
actually,
2-2.
Excuse me, sorry. I'm going to go 2-1 to Drogheda.
2-1, okay.
Yeah.
So all of us expecting it to be tight anyway. Into the first division then, Finn Harps against UCD.
Tough early test travelling up to Ballybuffet for UCD. You know, while we are not mad on the Harp side, are we going to say that there might be...
It can only get better.
Well, to a degree, but like, I know they were playing at Lone, who won their first competitive game in a lifetime. Is it also, like, looking at the goals and stuff like that, like, it was just a bit of an unfortunate situation?
No, I'm not, like... You touched on it earlier, with a month or two to go in the season last year, Harps were on a slide and Harps looked like they were going the other way. I think we said, oh, it's only a matter of time before Finn Harps get into the playoffs, and then they ended the season terribly and now they've started the season poorly as well. So I would be afraid that this could drag on for another while. I'm going to go for a UCD win. I'm going to go 2-1.
I'm going to go 1-0 to... No, you know what? I'm going to go 1-1.
Brian going 1-0 to Finn Harps, but I think UCD... might be able to get something out of that game. Wexford against Cork is probably the standout game of the first division weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, aside from Longford and Cove. Tough test for Wexford. Like, no matter what, we kind of referenced it already. Like, just I think like Cove will have like the expectation and a bit of a swagger. Is it going to be more of a case of... Will they be able to just brute force the league. I think. What are you feeling here? I'm really struggling. Like on one hand, I have like the trauma of Wexford's defence and goalkeeping situation over the last number of years. And then Cork's ability in the lower, you know, the upper half of the field, or, you know, the attacking part of the field, let's say. What are you thinking?
Will Wexford score?
I think so.
So Cork need to score at least two to win it, which they can do.
Yeah, but like, you know, is there anybody can do anything? Like, you know, I could jump out the window here on the third floor and I'll walk away from it. Like,
I'm just having a look here at the teams from the last day. It was interesting to see that he played with Mpongo, Maguire, and Keating.
Was that too much in a way? Was it?
Mpongo was basically playing out on the left wing. He saw a lot of the football, wasn't overly effective with it at times, but he did get the assist for the winner. Keating with a very fox in the box type finish. They'll obviously have Bulger there, all his experience sitting in front of that back four. Didn't think your mate Feely had a great game, no, I have to say.
What a surprise.
I'll go with Cork just to shade it 2-1. I think they've enough quality on the pitch.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a good old battle here. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1. And Brian going the same as me, going 2-1 to Cork City. Kerry against Athlone.
This is a real test here for Athlone. You know, two teams that were mixing around the back last, or around the bottom, I should say, last year. But surely Kerry would be looking at this as a good early opportunity, especially like the one nobody would have been blown away by Athlone's opening day performance. Right? They were on top. It isn't exactly an immovable object. I'm going to say, I think Kerry can get something out of this, and I think they could get 3 points. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same there as well. All three of us, Brian, going the same. All going 2-1 to Kerry. Treaty against Bray. I definitely think Treaty can get something out of this game.
Well, I definitely agree with you. I think they could win this game as well. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Treaty. Reasoning for that is, and you highlighted it already when we're talking about the Bray-Longford game, a lot of the chances were more handed to them. Now, obviously, like, you know, they were putting pressure on Longford Town to make those mistakes and give away those chances. But I wasn't exactly blown away by Bray's ability, you know, in the breaking down of Longford. Like, one of their best chances of the game was as a result of Parishiv trying to intercept a ball, just didn't get there in time and poked towards goal, and the Bray player ran onto it and it was cleared off the line. So, like, I would say if that exact situation happened in five games time, Parishiv would be that bit fitter, would have just collected that ball. Do you, you know what I mean? So that was probably Bray's best chance of the game. I think the Treaty will be cuter.
Yeah.
Will be, you know, you mentioned
get more compact, week, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Jack Brady is going to gather you up a few points in himself.
Definitely.
I'm going to say 2-1 to Treaty.
You're going 2-1 to Treaty. Brian going 1-1. I'm going to go 0-0 here, because the one thing I would be concerned about with Treaty, I'm just looking at their team from the last day, I don't know who's going to put the ball in the back of the net for them. I think Ben Feeney's a good signing. I know it didn't happen for him at Athlone, but I think you just write off any player that was at Athlone last season.
Absolutely. Nothing went
disaster. And we've spoken about before, like the likes of Declan McDade that was there. He's now playing Premier Division football.
Yeah, well, that's... And,
but you know what I mean? Like, he's viewed good enough to be playing for a Premier Division club, and he looked awful when he played for Dundalk. So,
yeah.
Or sorry, if he played for Athlone. Keane Curtis has gone there. He had a good season at Bray a couple of seasons ago. Didn't really feature as much last year. I don't know anything about the lad Lawler that played the other day. I think he's only a 19-year-old. So I would be worried about who's going to put the ball in the net for Treaty. So I'll go 0-0, but I definitely think they'll be well organised, and I don't think, I'm sure Tommy watching back the footage of the Longford game, I don't think he'd be fearing too much there out of Bray. That brings us to Longford then. They're at home to Cove. They beat Cove towards the end of last season to effectively end Cove's chances of catching Dundalk. It was a decent start for Longford because they've often suffered defeat on the first day in the last few years.
Yeah.
So this is a chance for them now to build some momentum after some slow starts in recent years. Cove will be itching to bounce back from a bit of a bizarre opening day result for them. Again, it was a game where they conceded three, could have conceded six, but they probably could have scored three or four themselves as well. Yep. So they do still have plenty of threat in attack, but they'll need to shape up defensively.
Certainly will. I think, you know, like Longford will have learned a good bit about them as well. Won't have to worry about Coffey pegging in goals from every angle, which is nice. I definitely think there's an opportunity for Longford to get another 3 points on the, or to get their first 3 points on the board. Like Longford, I thought Ferrell Manuel was unbelievable in Bray.
Yeah. Best player on the pitch.
He must have covered 30 kilometers throughout the game. He was absolutely everywhere. So if we get a performance like that, and also like there was a few players, like we'll say Colum or Himwan coming in, Conor Erity, Andy Parishiv, who's probably been played kind of out of position to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like there are a bit of gelling that Longford Town needs to do. I know, obviously, chatting to Wayne, manager Wayne Groves, about it, like, you know, he's does have to do a bit of a replacement job a lot, which is common enough in the first division. So, you know, bringing those players together is a bit tougher. So look, there are opportunities here. I'm going to say a 2-1 win to the Town.
Okay. Brian's going 2-0 to Cove. He is a Cove fan, so we'll allow him that. But the one thing I'd fear about Longford is there has been a bit of turnover, as you said there, and the chances that Bray got the other night were kind of from Longford's errors. I'd just be concerned that they might have the odd error here or there, and if that happens at the wrong time in the game, it could be very, very fatal to Longford's chances this season. Definitely liked what I saw in the attacking areas. Even though they didn't create massive amount of chances, I think Darren Murta is going to have a massive season. He's so good with his back to goal.
Honestly, Jesus, I'm so glad you said that. Honestly, I said it 3 or 4 years ago about Colin Whelan.
You just took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. Yeah. It was almost like he could catch the ball.
He was catching the ball with his hands.
Yeah.
He was incredible the other night. And one thing that I think he's improved on since last year, he always was decent enough with his back to the goal, but he's obviously improved there. But also, he's laying it off better.
Yeah.
It's not breaking down after he holds up the ball or works with his back to goal. So I think that'll be a huge addition for the Town in the forward department, because he'll be able to bring in players.
Yeah. I don't know Dean Williams, if he's fit or not, but obviously he comes in. If you have the two of them, that could be a tremendous forward two in the first division. Aaron Dorn there, one of the top scorers in the division last season. Ferrell Manuel, I don't think he'll score many goals, but as you said, he could be kind of the destructive player in that midfield. Maybe Parishiv will find his feet after a while. He did play one lovely scoop pass over the top the other night, so that's the type of thing he'll bring to the team. I don't think he's an out-and-out wide man, maybe where he was playing the other day, but just one or two areas where I just worry maybe about a lack of experience at times. So I think this could be an entertaining game. I think there could be plenty of goals in this one. I definitely wouldn't put people off following your 2-1 prediction to Longford there. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go 2-2. I think this could be a really, really good watch on Saturday night. Right, that brings us to the charity bet. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay, I'll just get it up here. I sent it to you earlier on. Unfortunately, neither of us making any inroads last week. As ever, our charity bet is brought to you by Barrett One Betting. Thanks to them for their kind sponsorship. I am going for this week around 14 or 15 to 1. We'll get the exact prices and stuff up on the socials later in the week, but I'm going to go Treaty draw no bet, Longford draw no bet, and Drogs draw no bet. So I'm a bit cautious there, but 14 to 1 is the price on that. Obviously if one of them teams draw or two of them draw, the returns will be a lot less, but let's hope we can get a few quid into the kitty anyway.
Absolutely. Who did I tell you? I said Longford draw no bet.
Yeah.
Drogheda, draw no bet.
Yeah, and Shamrock Rovers to win.
And Shamrock Rovers to win.
Yeah, that's about 17 to 1 or so.
17 to 1, ah yeah. Ah, Bar one will put it up to 30, what?
Yeah, they're giving us a tenner each every week on the pod to try and raise money for charity. Again, we haven't decided on a charity as of yet, so if you've got any suggestions, anyone, any causes close to your heart, let us know and we'll take it under consideration. But thanks again to Bar One Betting for sponsoring the charity bet once again this week. That brings us to the hotline, Gary. I suppose just before we go to the hotline, I know I said it on the pod a couple of weeks ago that one thing we don't really talk about on this show, thankfully, is politics. But I suppose sport and politics, they do intertwine, as much as we all like to say that they shouldn't. They do intertwine at times. And the one subject that's obviously dominated Irish football circles this week has been the Nations League draw, which has pitched Ireland and Israel in the same group. And it's left the FAI with a bit of a conundrum what to do. There has been suggestions that maybe the home leg in Dublin might be played outside of Ireland. Now, that seems to have been rode back on in recent days. It seems that an early kickoff is now the solution. The Israeli FA want to play the home game in Israel. That doesn't look like it's going to happen, which obviously I think most people would agree it shouldn't. There's a lot to unpack, so give me your thoughts on everything that's... Well, playing out.
Yeah, I think you know, I love the football. I love following my country, and I'm not saying that we should just play anybody in front of us blindly either. I have absolutely no support for the idea that we should play at the home game anywhere other than the Aviva Stadium. That kind of says, and you know, talks about a different story than what we should be talking about. And I wish, and I hope, and I expect that the game is going to be played. I don't give a shit what time of the day it's going to be played at. But it should be definitely be in the Aviva. So, you know, from reports this week, it's good that that has been kind of ironed out. I know the Israel FA were very quick to put out that they wanted the games to be back in Tel Aviv. I wouldn't be mad about that myself. I think they shouldn't, you know, really and truly, they shouldn't be in the competition. And I know the FAI went and did their bit to put that through to UEFA, which was rejected or not. We're not going to do anything about that, pal. I think was the main answer there. So if it has to be done, then, you know, playing in a neutral venue is probably the way to go. I think one thing that I am not a big fan of in any respect is like where we need to get the government involved. This type of yarn being talked about, I don't, you know, the governing body is a governing body. They've made submissions to the European governing body about this. It was put back or put down, whatever. And, you know, it isn't for the government to step in about this. The other thing is, now, obviously, that comes from my position of the government is not there to solve every problem imaginable. But also, I think what is probably going to happen, unfortunately, in the talk about all of this is going to be pressure on the players to not play the game. And I think that's quite unfair on the players. It's a real honour to play for your country. And... You know, I think it's unfair that, you know, direct pressure is going to be placed on them, and I hope that isn't going to be the case.
Like, I think everyone has a right to express their whatever their view on this is. I'm like you; I'm very passionate when it comes to the national team. I will go to this game, and I'll go to support Ireland. I'm sure plenty of people will go to also voice their opposition to what's happening in Gaza, and they're well entitled to do that. There will most definitely be massive protests in Dublin on the day as well. There's obviously going to be a huge security presence, but some people have suggested, you know, people shouldn't go to the game. It should be boycotted. Other people have said it's a chance to put on a mass demonstration within the stadium. I know there's been suggestions of maybe throwing things onto the pitch, et cetera, et cetera. I just hope it doesn't turn into a case that people that do want to go to the game are kind of shamed, or, you know, you shouldn't be. There's kind of a thing out there at the minute that, oh, anyone that goes to this game, you're kind of legitimizing Israel taking place in this. As you've pointed out, I think a lot of football fans feel they have no place in the game, that they shouldn't be in this competition. But the governing body, UEFA, haven't had the stones to do what they should have done and ban them from the competition. So, you know, is it Ireland's place to not play the game and then take punishment? I don't know. I don't think the FAI obviously financially are able to do that. People will say, well, this is more than a financial thing. This is a moral thing. And I can fully, fully understand that as well. But at the same time, I want to go and watch my country play a game of football. I'll go and I'll support my country. And I just think everyone has a right to.
Yeah. Like, and I fully agree on that. And, you know, I really, you know, it's kind of coming around. We saw a few articles from, you know, journals, apparently, that, you know, we're going on about, should we go to the World Cup if we qualify? And stuff like that. And, you know, there's articles about the Israel game today or yesterday or whatever, in the last few days. And that's all grand. You know, I don't read them all, but I think what you said is, like, you know, I go and support my team. I'm very much less worried about who we're playing. And I'm not saying that, as I said, like, I'm not saying that I just have to take whoever is playing. Like, you know, if any team that, or any country that did something or whatever is playing Ireland, I don't have to just be blind to that. But, like, I'm going for a very pro-Ireland experience, or pro-Ireland position, rather than an anti whoever we're playing. And I, you know, a lot of people are going to make a lot of decisions to go or not go, and, you know, up, God direct it. But I'll definitely.
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to make, really. Yeah. It's up to everyone how they want to go, not go, protest, not protest, whatever. I think everyone is of the opinion that, like, as I said,
they shouldn't be playing. It shouldn't be happening. No, we shouldn't be in this position.
But like, this was going to happen at some stage, let it be international level or club level. An Irish team was going to be drawn against an Israeli team at some stage. And, you know, these conversations were going to have to be had.
At some point, somewhere. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. It's just, you know, now it's our goal. And it's just unfortunate. That this has to be talked about. But yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. We'll go to the hotline, Gary. Let's see what our listeners have to say this week. Git, what's the forfeit for you lads when you inevitably lose the predictions league?
Well, I'm still waiting on my beer. I did give you some beer for Christmas.
You did.
If you want to gather up, go on a little hunt for some Super Bock. After I mentioned it already in the pod, it was a top tier drink. Jesus, it's absolutely heaven.
We'll buy a Pat season ticket.
A Pat season ticket?
Yeah, as a punishment.
Oh, jeez. No, God, come on. I'd rather burn the money.
Declan Crosby, I just want to commend the ground staff, Matt, Eddie and Ian at Drogheda United. The pitch was fantastic, in fantastic condition on Friday, considering the weather we had early days, but it looks like we have found some real gems from the American market again. Now I'm going to go and watch Dundalk Drogheda Friday, so be interested to see some of these American lads that come in. But that Drogheda pitch, I obviously be out on it a good bit during the year doing interviews after games, and it's always in tremendous nick, so well done to the lads there. Dee McCall, good friend of ours, Derry fan. I've heard it mentioned a few times about Derry having four games in a row to suit our pitch installation. That's not true. The fixture list had us home, away, home, home. Dundalk asked us to switch our first game away to help them with work being done at our ground. Yeah, we probably should have pointed that out on the pod last week when we were reading some of the comments about Derry. So that's fair enough, Dee. We'll take that. Will Rovers ever play a game this season? Hopefully this Friday. Alan, the most complete Bohemians performance I've seen in years. Looks like we have finally solved our long-standing defensive issues. Todd and Hickey are colossal. Dara is a sensational fullback. Keep our strikers fit and we could do some serious damage. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Aidan M, were Bows aided by pre-season training for weeks in far more horrific weather conditions, or does that have nothing to do with it, do you think? Oh, they were in Dublin. They weren't in.
Yeah, they weren't in Siberia, like
go around bare chested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. Running down wolves and it, and they're like, killing them and everything. No, like come on, like
that will go against the Bulls ethos, of course.
Yeah.
Colm, whatever about the batter and the pitches have sustained over the last month. I have no idea how the showgrounds was so cut up even before the match started on Saturday. Sligo away the week before. Surely they don't train on it all week. I've said that. I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but I've definitely said it to people and I've noticed it myself. The showgrounds always looks immaculate when a game starts and you don't have to play for too many minutes for it to start cutting up. It's very, very soft on the top, whatever it is about the showgrounds pitch.
Yeah, because it's pissing all the time in the West.
Mm.
You know, every time driving down the M4 towards Longford, it goes from 120 to 100, bang, it's pissing. So, it's the same shit. Like, of course it's going to happen.
But even in the summer, it'll be like that. It'll be soft on the top all the time.
I don't think so. But I know it
cuts up a lot, that pitch, whatever it is. Lord Chuckles Academy, right, I've calmed down after that. One of those nights, I'm putting it down to credit Bose. The rest is history. We will get over this. We will have our blip. And most importantly, we will be safe. Over to you, Gary, to tear that apart.
Yeah, I think the safety point. You know, I've said it many times. I think the trick is going to be, the trick last year was Owen Elding. That's gone. No replacement on the horizon. Will it be a rescue job in the summer, and try and put that money to use? Maybe. I'm not sure if it's going to be doable this time, to be quite honest.
Pat Walsh, Daly has us playing far too open at the minute. Trying to shoehorn in Carty with Podge and Tommy Lonergan isn't really working. He needs to quickly sort out the balance in the team for what's already a big game against Sligo on Friday night. And if you remember, I read out a message we got last week from a Waterford fan, and we were joking that they're already getting a bit twitchy down there.
Yeah.
We got a message from a Waterford fan. I don't think he'll mind us naming him. I think we named him on the pod last week, Sam. He sent us in a tweet about Daly. He texted me on Friday. I obviously haven't listened to the episode. He said, "Points taken about my criticism of Daly on the hotline. I have gone a bit early." He said, "I think I am underwhelmed as I never wanted Keith Long gone and feel Keith, if Keith was backed the way Daly has been with this squad, we could push for fifth or sixth." And then he texts us back Saturday morning saying, "I take it back, Daly out."
Yeah. Look, that's the game, Great lad of a Friday, arsehole of a Saturday. I'm guilty of it myself. I think it is early. Ever since they sacked Long, it wasn't exactly playing sailing, was it?
No.
After they sacked Long, so... I think there was a lot of going, "Oh shit, what have we done?" in the months after that. So I think John Daly should be given time. He has been backed, so that will probably reduce to his rope to a degree. Carty, he has been given the players. So he needs to get it reflected on the pitch and right quick.
Yep. Look, hopefully all the games will go ahead this weekend. Again, apologies for not having a guest this week. We'll try and get that rectified for next week. It's just a bit all over the shop this week with postponements and everything else. But I think we've got some cracking games to look forward to there in the two divisions.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Looking forward to Saturday, of course, back to the stream, which is great. I think the Derry Dundalk game, probably one of the standouts.
Derry Drogheda. Mixing up your D's.
Yeah. Well, you said Derry Drogheda and it's Dundalk Drogheda.
All over the shop this week.
All over the shop.
No, Derry Drogheda. Did I say Derry Drogheda? Anyway,
you did.
I don't know. Yeah. bad horse.
Too many D's. Too many D's. Yeah. Even in the first division, a great early game after the first weekend, Wexford and Cork.
Mixing up your C's.
Yeah, well, I'm a big C anyway. And then, as I said, really looking forward to being back in Bishopsgate on
Yeah, I think
Saturday.
That'll be a good game too. I do think that'll be a good game. So
yeah,
lots to look forward to. That was Series 10, Episode 3. Maybe not our most polished episode of all time. So please do, like Waterford fans need to do with Daily, give us time. It's still early in the season. We'll find our feet.
We'll get it together. Gather it
we
up.
Will. We will. But, that was Series 10, Episode 3 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks to our sponsors, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And thanks to Barrow One Betting, the sponsors of our weekly charity bet. For myself, Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, I'm going to be at the Loud Derby Friday, hopefully, and Longford Cove on, I nearly said Cork there, Cove on the Saturday. So, hopefully we'll have plenty to talk about on next week's show, and we'll try and get a few guests and a few audio clips for you and the like, just to jazz it up a bit more. But for this week, from Kieran and Gary, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.